You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. I certainly am. And I'm very glad I'm able to be. I hope I'll be able to continue to be. It's all up to you. So, ladies and gentlemen, so much going on. I hope that you are not getting fearful for any reasons. Just trust in the Father. Everything's going to be fine. No matter how the storm rages, keep your eyes on Him. Let the storm rage. It's part of the backfire. It's part of the answer to prayer. As you know that I've been praying about this, look what's happening. I mean, I can't, you know, say positively it's because of my prayer, but I can't say it's not either. So, you know, you judge what you believe to be true. But you know I've been praying about this stuff for a long time, and it's very interesting to watch what's going on. Remember, we're praying in the Father's name now. We're not praying to the Lord. Baal. This can make the whole difference. I hope you're praying these prayers with me if you feel led to be. And I hope that you're excited. Remember, you know, when you want the Father to move on things, there'll be some ramifications. It's not going to be totally comfortable. But don't worry, He's there. And He's watching you and me. I should say you and I. Okay, here we are. I just, before we go into Fritz Springmeier's book here, when I had seen the verse that I told you about, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, I just decided, well, let's just read the whole chapter, because there's a lot about the law here and a lot of beautiful nuggets. I've read the Proverbs to you before, but you know, even now, I've listened to these things on, you know, I have the recordings of these Proverbs and all the Bible recordings, and I listen to them many, many times. And I've listened to Proverbs many, 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 many times, read it many, 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 many times. And it doesn't matter. Every time I look at it now in a whole new light, after what I've learned and what we've all learned in the last 4 months, I hope, it certainly shines a bit differently. You ready? Proverbs chapter 28. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You know why you can be bold? Is because, you know, if you're doing the right thing, there's nothing to fear. If you're obeying the Father's laws and to the best of your ability, and you're not pursuing wickedness, then there's nothing for you to be cowardly about. There's nothing for you to run away from. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. For the transgression of a land, many are princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. Want me to prove that one to you? Sodom and Gomorrah. Because Yahweh's judgment was going to come down on it. And for one man, Lot, and his family, the Father prolonged it before He hit it with the judgment. Make sense? Want me to read it again? For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. Listen to this one. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Listen, you see, we see this today, don't we? We see a lot of Jew worship the wicked and traitors whom they praise, and they put up statues of Nelson Mandela, who is a filthy, rotten, communist, murdering Negroid. These are the leaders that the Negroids have. I mean, this is the best they can come up with, is Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela. And they worship this. They're still showing pictures of him smiling, like as if he was a world hero. See, because they have forsaken the law. They have forsaken the Father. So it says in verse 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. See, they that forsake the law praise the LGBTQ movement. You see? You see how it works? But such as keep the law contend with them. This is what I'm talking about, being able to defend. Verse 5, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek Yahweh understand all things. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Get a load of this one. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. And I would add that shameth his father in heaven as well. Of course, father here is lowercase. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Now, I'd like to see a lot more of that, folks. Now, here's the keystone. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. Boy, isn't that true? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You mean that if I just have faith, I won't be able to have mercy? Yeah, that's what I mean. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. See, that's one of the laws, right? See, if, again, he that obeys the law and isn't covetous towards his neighbor's goods or his neighbor's wife, etc., etc., shall prolong his days. I could translate to you that he that obeyeth the law prolongeth his days. And that's exactly what is said over and over in the Proverbs. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. I can remember how many times you'd see in Hollywood somebody would cover somebody that killed somebody, right? But the scripture said, let no man stay him. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that follow after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. Very interesting. And that's what it says. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. He that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Well, that's true, and can also depend on the man. Whoso robbeth his father or mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in Yahweh shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, trusteth. He that trusteth, listen to this one, I'd say that this is one to listen to. All of them are, but this is one I think we should listen to. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. I think that goes along with, there is a way that seems right to a man, but that leads to death. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but that leads to death. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. I tried to let somebody know about that kind of thing, and they didn't like it very much. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly did. It's always refreshing to delve into the Proverbs. I enjoy it immensely. I hope you do too. Much about the law is in the Proverbs, you know, and it's now that I'm doing this Apostle Paul thing, it's very interesting that these verses really shine out. We're on page 265 of Be Wise as Serpents. And we're still learning. So if you're there now, here we go. Dr. L.W. Jones of Jewish Heritage. See, that's a funny thing, is Jones seems to be a Jewish name. Now, I can't say that there aren't any Jewish people, aren't any people named Jones that are not Jewish, but that's possible. Maybe somebody could write me if they know somebody. But when I look at Art Jones, from Chicago, the guy who's running, he seems to be of Jewish heritage to me. When you look at that face, do you see the same thing I'm seeing? And just, you know, I'm not saying it's definite, but I get a feeling it is. Jew-cago. Dr. L.W. Jones of Jewish Heritage gave an address in a lodge building to the IBSA in 1911. I was much impressed on looking around to see all of these beautiful mottos. All of them seemed to speak of the one word, loyalty, quote-unquote, which we have on our badge, friends. The key is obedience, he says. Wow. And surely now is the time that we must be loyal. And we will not be loyal if we are not obedient. Ah, isn't that funny that that would be there? Like as if I planned this. Glory to the Father in heaven. So you just heard that obedience and loyalty pretty much go hand in hand. And I told you, now I'm going to have to interject here, of course, that if the Father were to give away the kingdom just to anybody by faith alone, free, they wouldn't be loyal. They wouldn't care because they wouldn't have anything invested in the kingdom. It's just something you have to think about that makes sense. I'm reiterating that because it's very important to understand that things you get free, you don't care as much about. If you have to work for something and, you know, sweat, blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak, then you've got something in the so-called game, let's say, right? In other words, you've got something invested. And I likened that into the people that they're bringing in our nation, especially the groids, where they're giving them free everything, and they don't care about our kingdom. They don't care about us. They don't care about anything. That's what I'm talking about. They have nothing invested in this. It's not theirs, never was, never will be, never can be. And that's the way it is with the kingdom of the Father. You can't just graft in, you know, the devil's seed line or the dragon seed or any of these. You can't just bring them and say, oh, if you just have faith and believe and confess with your mouth that he rose from the dead, you're all set. You don't even have to do anything anymore. You can just sit back. He's taking care of everything. Oh, sure, you're really going to care about that kingdom. Sure you are. Just about as much as the groids care about America or any other country they're in. And then that's not even to mention their own countries. They don't even know what a country is. They didn't make those countries. They're not a people of many nations. They only have nations because somebody made those nations for them. They don't know what nations are. They might kind of know now what nations are, but they've never known before. That's the point. So political pull, he says. One ex-Jehovah's Witness mother found out that the Jehovah's Witnesses had obtained the political pull of the governor of her state, which governor is heavily into the New Age movement, to win custody of her child. When a Jehovah's Witness was arrested for peddling magazines without a license in Tucson, Arizona, the Jehovah's Witness, Hal, was found guilty of violating the city's Ordinance 729, peddling without a license. The case was appealed to the Arizona Supreme Court. The next day, Judge Sella, who had sentenced him, had a mysterious fire that destroyed his whole office, and Hal was released. Actions. During the prohibition days, the Watchtower president had fine Scotch whiskey smuggled into the U.S. from Canada by the branch overseer. Geez, I wonder if Bronfman was helping there. In 1938, Rutherford tried to enlist the support of various civic agencies to support the Watchtower Society and its upcoming Seattle convention. During Rutherford's presidency, the office of an enemy of the Watchtower Society was destroyed by a special team of Jehovah's Witnesses that broke into the office of Kerber at night and destroyed evidence against the Watchtower Society. So the Watchtower Society clearly will break laws, will deal with political power clandestinely, and operate in a total cloud of secrecy. It has remained rabidly hostile to Christians. The sinister nature of the Upper Watchtower leadership has been clouded in the tightest secrecy, while the rank and file willingly submit to their dictatorship. Very interesting. And there's a bunch of notes there, and this will bring us to the next chapter. Chapter 1.15, The Watchtower's Mein Kampf. Jehovah's Witnesses and ex-Jehovah's Witnesses will be surprised to see my account of Armageddon differing from the prevailing viewpoint on various points. It is quite extraordinary to suggest that Jehovah's Witnesses would fight during Armageddon, especially since they have built up such a public reputation for being conscientious objectors. This author is quite conscious that wild accusations or overstatements could damage the credibility of this book. He is including the suggestion that the Jehovah's Witnesses may be ordered to take more than a passive role due to careful consideration. This author doesn't know what the future holds. He does suggest it is naive to think that the Watchtower Society poses no potential threat. Several points can be established beyond doubt. These are, number one, I hope you're listening. Number one, the Jehovah's Witnesses are not conscientious objectors in the classic sense. They have adamantly declared that themselves. Their reasons for not participating in war are not from being conscientious objectors. Number two, Jehovah's Witnesses are instructed by their leaders to physically defend themselves. Awake Magazine, September 8, 1975, pages 27 and 28. And other Jehovah's Witnesses, that's from Watchtower, June 1, 68, page 367, and that there is no blood guilt in a death blow to an attacker. Awake Magazine, September 8, 75. Over the entire history of the Watchtower movement, there are numerous cases when the Jehovah's Witnesses have felt the need to physically attack and seriously injure those they consider to be threatening. One Jehovah's Witness attack in New York City left dozens of people hospitalized. Number three, the Watchtower Society is anticipating a military attack upon themselves during Armageddon. Number four, the Watchtower Society's literature does make statements that do include the Jehovah's Witnesses in fighting at Armageddon. These statements are on the record in spite of the other Watchtower statements to the contrary. Number five, there are numerous case histories from Africa where Watchtower converts, after reading Watchtower literature, have gotten the mistaken impression God wanted them to kill. So they have gone out and killed. The Watchtower argues that their message has been misunderstood. That may be so, but the point remains that it is at best difficult to clearly understand Watchtower intentions. The Watchtower Society has played a big role in destroying the colonial governments in Africa and then in limiting the success of African leaders to try to create nations out of borders left over from colonial rule. So here again, you have you see the Jews control this Watchtower Society. Here you have them getting involved in toppling governments. Huh? See? I wonder how many of the Afrikaners are Watchtower people. I know a lot of them are Freemasons, from what I understand. But I wouldn't be surprised if they were Watchtower people. He goes on, this author fully recognizes that the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society has urged their people to be politically neutral and to stay aloof from politics. But such neutrality has, in some cases, in reality, translated into political sabotage. When black African leaders try to create national identities and build national consensus from oddball groups of people and boundaries that are meaningless to Africa, and then the JWs, Jehovah's Witnesses, block their efforts, and by intense proselytizement encourage others to block their efforts, then it is understandable that African national leaders have often viewed the Jehovah's Witnesses as a thorn in their side. And while the Jehovah's Witness literature has played a big role in promoting riots, murders, strikes, and other tensions, the Watchtower Society simply ignores their responsibility by claiming that they are not responsible for people misunderstanding their literature. Now, it sounds like, just like the Freemasons to me, sounds like an organization that's akin to it. It's run by the Jews. You know what I mean? It's Gnostic, etc., etc. And they worship the devil. Jehovah's the devil. The name Jehovah. It's not the Father's name at all. In other words, an event effect is caused by a certain particular cause. Just because the Watchtower did not want the effect that is caused, they feel that they are relieved of any responsibility for the effect they caused. Well, this is a perfect moment for me to interject something. See, just because people say the Apostle Paul is just and all this stuff, and his gospel is correct and all that stuff, and the problem is it caused an effect that is contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? And in other words, you may say, well, he didn't desire this to turn out this way, but yet it has turned out this way, hasn't it? And if the Holy Spirit was, and the Father in heaven, and Yeshua were for this Apostle Paul's gospel, it would have turned out right, and it would have been blessed, wouldn't it have? But it hasn't been blessed. It's been a curse for over 1900 years now. In Zaire, the society was held responsible for the 61 Luba Rebellion. See, what do they have to do with Africa? They're over there causing rebellions and upheavals and riots and everything else. This is what the Freemasons do. So I would say that I'm probably correct that not only Freemasons were over there as Afrikaners, but they were over there in the same type of capacity. I don't know. In southern Rhodesia, especially at Wanki in 1923, the Watchtower became a kind of surrogate union movement and was a major element in one of the earliest strikes in the country. Well, this kind of says that they were before. I don't really know the history of South Africa as well as I could, but this sounds like it's before the Afrikaners. Very interesting. In the eastern province of what was Rhodesia, protests led by the Watchtower preachers brought a quick crackdown from the colonial authorities. A Watchtower self-proclaimed prophet, Tomo Nurienda, and his associates murdered 174 people before Nurienda was captured and executed by the British colonial government. Very interesting. The Watchtower was a workers' movement. The revolutionary tenor of its teachings helped pave the way for the first modern labor protests on the Northern Rhodesian Copper Belt, the Rolling Strikes of 1935. If my literature incites people to kill and riot, am I guilt-free? The Watchtower Society has never expressed, to this author's knowledge, remorse for those who became victims of overzealous Watchtower readers. The Society's reaction is to stress that these tragedies are not their fault. In Africa, when a political party loses and is outlawed, their leaders at times seek refuge by joining the Jehovah's Witnesses. Although the Jehovah's Witnesses are in their own eyes neutral, by providing a haven for dissidents and by proselytizing for the hearts of the people in competition with ruling political parties, they appear in practice to be a political threat. If the Watchtower Society's message were not so anti-state, it would be different. But the witnesses are taught that their governments represent Satan and that allegiance should go solely to the Watchtower Society in New York City. You know what that means, right? The B'nai B'rith. Yeah. So let's continue. Is the Watchtower Society merely a religious faith, or is it a government, as it is so often called, by itself? It may be the perfect scam. Call one's government a non-political religion, and then who can dare oppose you? You see, that's exactly what Israel does with Judaism. They call their religion a non-political religion. You know what I mean? But it is very political. So they are told that rejecting the Watchtower Society is rejecting God. Watchtower Society 215-76, page 124. They are told that the Watchtower Society is their mother. They are told that God's sole visible channel is the Watchtower Society channel. Can you imagine? God's sole visible channel is the Watchtower Society, and that they must be submissive to it. They are told to avoid independent thinking. Hello, I hope you're listening. I hope. My goodness. Listen to this again. I'm going to start it right from the beginning. They are told to avoid independent thinking and not to question the Watchtower Society. Watchtower, January 15th, 1983, page 26 and 27. The Watchtower Society is not just any government. It is a very autocratic, dictatorial one. But they believe it is the only legitimate government. All others are satanic. And then there's some notes. Okay, we're to the next part here. A new paradise on earth. Look at all those tall trees, pretty flowers, and high mountains. Isn't it beautiful here? See how the deer is eating out of the little boy's hand? And look at the lions and the horses standing over there in the meadow. Wouldn't you like to live in a house in a place like this? God wants you to live forever on earth in a paradise, and he doesn't want you to have any of the aches and pains that people suffer today. This is the Bible's promise to those who will live in a new paradise. Now, of course, this is Jehovah's Witness literature, folks. God will be with them. There will be no more death or crying or pain. The old things have passed away. I mean, this sounds, you know, like it's... Jesus will see to it that this wonderful change takes place. Do you know when? Yes, after he cleans the earth of all badness. My Book of Bible Stories, 1978, page 115. Chapter 9.2, 9 times 2 is 18, 666, or 9 and 2 is 11, The Watchtower's Mein Kampf. The title to this chapter is not derived from an actual document called Mein Kampf, but rather because the Watchtower Society's words spell out a sinister future, much in the way Hitler spelt out his plans to wipe out certain undesirables. The coincidence, let me just give me a second. I'm going to make a brief adjustment here. Okay, so the coincidence is not coincidence. Hitler found his Nazi religion on Hindu New Age beliefs. This author has repeatedly, during the course of his research, come across the New Agers referring to Hitler as one of them. The Watchtower Society advertises themselves as Christians. They don't now directly identify themselves with the New Age movement. The Watchtower Society does a good job of portraying their millennium as a wonderful paradise. Hitler also promised his people a 1,000-year reign. The society anticipates a special race in the new order. This new age race is to be especially righteous and spiritual. Allow the author to digress. There is a certain disquieting flaw in the Watchtower's history that perhaps when taken with some modern recent Watchtower statements produces an uneasiness. Permit the author to dig up the Watchtower's unrepented and covered up racist past. Oh boy, here we go. Take a sip of my iced coffee here as I prepare to digress. Yeah. So, who is going to keep the society honest in the New Age if they have been able to hide their racism during this century? At one time, the society was simply racist. Consider the following Watchtower Society messages, which are but a sampling. The Negro race is supposed to be descended from Ham. No, it's not. Whose special degradation is mentioned in Genesis 9:22. No, it's not from Ham. No. All right, so I'm going to kind of pop out of that. Let's forget about that because we're not going to waste any time with that. We'll pop over. We're on page 275 right here. On Earth today, the New World Society is only a group that is doing true constructive work. It's the only one, they say. Page 328. You mean the Watchtower Society plans to keep on governing after the revolution? The survivors of Almighty God's victorious war will step out as pioneers into the new earth. Although spread all over the earth according to their pre-Armageddon location, they will promptly operate together as a new world society in harmony with the theocratic organization already established among them. Does Yahweh know about this? Ridiculous. This sounds like a subtle hint. Promptly report for orders so that you can work in harmony, quote unquote. The new heaven is the government of Messiah, the theocracy. Born and in power, Watchtower, June 1st, 1943. Who will rule the New World Order? The Watchtower Society. The New World Society on the Earth really started with the remnant when restored from Babylon in 1919. The New Earth can rightly be said to have been founded in this remnant, for the New World Society continues on for eternity on Earth. A New Heavens and a New Earth, page 338. The Watchtower Society is God's government and speaks for him. Imagine this. The Jehovah's Witnesses fight in the revolution. Who fights? To protect themselves, the society writes, Jehovah's woman in the heaven brought forth her male child, her theocratic messianic government. Therefore, let all earthly man-made governments be put on notice that God's kingdom is not established by any seditious revolutionary movement of Jehovah's Witnesses on earth. A New Heavens and a New Earth, page 222. And yet, three pages further, Rutherford's often quoted 1922 Cedar Point speech is given, which instructs JWs, quote, "Be faithful and true witnesses for the Lord." Yeah, they certainly are. The Lord Jehovah. "Go forward in the fight until every vestige of Babylon lies desolate." See also Babylon the Great, page 464. The only sense that reconciles both of these statements is the true legitimate king has been born, and that his claim to the throne can't be taken away, but that meanwhile his foot soldiers will be out destroying Christendom until every vestige of Christendom is destroyed. Very interesting, hmm? When the revolution comes, people will say, "I thought Christ and the angel were going to do this." The Watchtower Society will point to a long list of statements where they warn that the revolution actually begins with people like the communists. Are you listening? Liberation theology? I know we haven't got to that yet. We will. Remarkable. Babylon the Great, page 537. The book Religion, 1940, compares the JWs to an army of locusts striking terror into Christendom. You see, it's just like the Jews saying that they're friends of the Christians when they spit on, you know, they grab their crotch and spit three times or something like that when they're walking by a Christian church, right? And so now you're really seeing here the real intention of the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's to destroy Christianity. And they want to proselytize you and get you to join them to do that. Very interesting, isn't it? When the revolution or Armageddon comes, just what will the loyal Jehovah's Witnesses be doing under orders from their secretive governing body? They will immediately begin working under the direction of the new heavens of Christ and his 144,000 associate kings and priests to subdue the earth, like as if the Father couldn't do it himself. Life does have a purpose. Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, 1977, page 141. Now, this is coming from some prophets in this organization predicted the end of the world in 1914. It didn't happen, and I believe it was 1975. And it didn't happen. And so many other predictions as well. That's just two that I can remember off the top of my head. I believe it was 75. But I know it was 1914. So, it says, a resolution was made that the faithful remnant are eager to continue in the fight until and through Armageddon. Informant, September 1944. Will some people be executed? There will be royal orders of an executioner against wicked enemies. Holy Spirit, the force behind the coming new order. Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, 1976, page 172 and 173. The other sheep, that is most Jehovah's Witnesses, must prove their faith during this by their works. Children, 1941, page 307. Any not desiring to serve Jehovah will be executed. You get it? Rightly. Let God be true, page 269. Jehovah's D-Day of Armageddon may be strictly a military secret. Watchtower, October 15th, 1952, page 614. It is a combat between God's organization under Christ Jesus and Satan's invisible and visible organization. The truth shall make you free, 1943, page 348. Jehovah's Chariot of God is God's organization. They say Jehu's. The Watchtower Society is compared to when Jehu went to slaughter Baal worshippers. Isn't this ironic that they're Jehovah's Witnesses, which is Baal, right? It's unbelievable. Children, 1941, page 201. At the St. Louis Assembly, the pioneers were greeted. Well, it should refresh anyone's heart to greet a company of real fighters that are not only willing to fight, but to fight for the greatest thing that has ever been known or ever will be known, namely the great theocratic government. That means Jesus' government. Other revolutionary groups fight at Armageddon. One of the best examples, he says, of this are the Watchtower quotes which declare that Armageddon will be like the French Revolution. Occultic Masonic groups are known to have created the French Revolution. The society tells us under the title French Revolution, a foregleam of things to come. And here is that foregleam. From autumn 1793, the revolution, a foregleam of things to come. From autumn 1793, the revolutionary government set up a vast plan for de-Christianization. Wow, that's a big word, de-Christianization. The aim was to build a new man, quote unquote, who would be rid of vice. He's a new world man. He's a new, you get it? That's Geddy Lee the Jew. Yeah. The new Tom Sawyer is the new man too, you get it? Tom Sawyer's your common man, the new Tom Sawyer, the new man. He's a new world man. Yeah. The Catholic religion was accused of trying to take advantage of the people's credulity. Some churches were destroyed, while others were turned into barracks. The clergy were forced to quit their vocation. Those who refused were arrested and executed. The French Revolution sowed ideas and later grew into both democracies and dictatorships, which is the same thing, democracies and dictatorships, as far as I'm concerned. It also showed what can happen when political powers suddenly turn against organized religion. In this, it may provide a foregleam of things to come. Revelation 17:16, 18:1-24, Awake Magazine, 12/22, 1989, page 28. Does this mean the Jehovah's Witnesses receive help from others? There is no mixing of good and evil forces, according to the 1952 yearbook, Monday, June 16th, nor will the Jehovah's Witnesses try to get any converts, for it is too late once the battle begins, according to the 1951 yearbook, Friday, October 12th. Who else will murder the Christians? Are you getting this? Military units, no longer acting under orders from their original governments in the manner that the French military in the French Revolution killed the clergy. Awake, December 22, 1989. Secular forces will leave the Christians completely desolated. Christendom will also be destroyed by the UN. I hope you're listening. I hope you're listening. I don't think they'll tell you these type of things when they come to your doorstep, will they? They'd say, did you get that on the internet? The fighting is summed up in that God will dash them all to pieces at the final war of Armageddon, 1949 yearbook, September 3rd. And Christ will strike the enemy with confusion in the various elements of Satan's visible organization will fight and annihilate one another. This means everlasting life, 1950, page 263. The genocide of all Christians begins, then so-called Christendom, with its demon religion, is the most reprehensible position, is in the most reprehensible position of all, because Christendom's leaders have fraudulently and blasphemously posed as the New Age threats to eliminate Christians. Quest 30. Quote, would it be wise to try to hide during the great time of trouble? And would it be safer in the country than in the city? The cryptic reply, I advise you to hide before the time of trouble. 11th Souvenir Report, page 20. Although the Watchtower Society has stated it expects many terrible things to happen, they seem to have taken no precautions to alleviate the pain that is to come. The same thing happened in Nazi Germany. Here we go again. The Jehovah Witnesses were told simply, Jehovah will protect you. This attitude is reflected in the following quote. Those who maintain their integrity toward God and who remain true and faithful to the theocratic government will receive protection and salvation from the disasters of Armageddon. Oh, boy. If you believe this stuff, I mean, you must really want to be sold a bill of goods. You know what I mean? The only problem is these goods are useless. In the Jehovah's, the Jehovah Witnesses are to treat Armageddon as a great time of joy, a great slaughter. Yeah, of Christians. Isn't that wonderful? This great carnage of Armageddon, it will be to those who delight themselves in Jehovah. Joy to their hearts and will give them strength to go onward in their work and service, which God may yet have for them to do on earth. 1931 Yearbook, December 25th. Allow your mind to dwell upon God's righteousness, God's righteous new world, excuse me. Allow your mind to dwell upon God's righteous new world. Cultivate a strong desire for it. Keep a clear vision of it before you all the time. Meditate upon it. Picture yourself walking in the midst of the paradise butte, paradisaic. Yeah, that's how you say it. Paradisaic beauty. Feel its peace and its tranquility. You know, it's incredible that these demonic organizations try to use all this Christian jargon to swindle the people. And it works, obviously. You know, he talks about people that are ex-Jehovah Witnesses. I've never met one. Have you? Because I just never have. Yeah, so see yourself looking at the ruins of one of the old world cities and at happy members of the New World Society busily clearing away those ruins. Watchtower, July 1st, 1957. This sounds to this author like a New Age visualization. Yes, it sounds that way to me too. Sounds like a lot of feelings too. Tears are not allowed for any victims. The present mourning of the people worldwide speaks out plainly its own meaning, but now such mourning will not much longer continue. The Battle of Armageddon will destroy and remove completely the cause of mourning, the wicked bearing rule. The New World, page 103. Jehovah will show her Christendom no pity at the end of the system of things. Now, you know, this is very interesting, you know, how this all is, because they're convincing people that they need to kill all Christians. Now, don't you think that that sounds a little interesting? And, they're not suspect of it all. Now, you know that trapped in the religions of the world, like the Catholics and the Judeo-Christian churches, that there are some decent people that are in those organizations that really don't know, they're not bad or wicked people, they just don't know the truth. Remember, I will remind you of this, that there were three caves. There was the cave Abel was in, the people of the just. There was the people of the wicked in another cave. And then there were people that were not really believers or just, but they weren't evil either. See, God's mercy, he didn't, you know, you see how the Jews, nothing like our Father? They'll put somebody that does a mild crime in with the hardened evil criminals. But you see that the Father wouldn't do something like that. And to say we're going to kill all Christians, you know, when I think of the our brothers and sisters that are caught in this, I've been praying for them that the Father will help them to get out of these organizations, out of the Catholic Church and out of the Jehovah's Witnesses and out of the Mormons and out of all these different things, the Judeo-Christian churches, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's just important that we pray. See, you can sit around saying, oh, yeah, the Judeo-Christians, this and that, but do you love them? I mean, in the sense of, do you, some of them are our brothers and sisters. Obviously, now that there's Mamzers and everything else in the church, not all of them are, but in those organizations are some of our brothers and sisters. Do you love them? Do you pray for them? Do you want them to be released and brought back to the Father? I do. I don't hate them. So, let me continue here. As the smoke of Armageddon's battle clears, Jehovah's visible organization will still be here, they say. Let Your Kingdom Come, 1981, page 176. The Watchtower refers to its present anointed leadership as the Remnant. It seems probable that some of the remnant may be used for a time after Armageddon in directing the people in a way, in the way of the kingdom. The people will come to Jehovah's temple, his holy organization. Preparation, 1933, page 329. The New World Society will be still here on earth after Armageddon has purged the earth. See, none of this is all just crapola. New Heavens and New Earth, page 330. The restored remnant of spiritual Israelites. Whoa! The restored remnant of spiritual Israelites. Say spiritual. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as spiritual Israelites. Unless you're talking about the Israelites that have died in the times past. The restored remnant of spiritual Israelites dwell at the center or navel of the earth. That is, they are the center of the New World Society. Will you rule the New World Order? The Watchtower Society. The New World Order Society on earth really started with the remnant when restored from Babylon. This is the same quote again in 1919. The new earth can rightly be said to have been founded in this remnant. For the New World Society continues on for eternity on earth. You mean the Watchtower Society plans to keep governing after the revolution? The survivors of Almighty God's victorious war will step out as pioneers into the new earth. Although spread all over the earth, this is again, they're just reading the same things again, spread all over the earth according to their pre-Armageddon location, they will promptly operate together as a new world society in harmony with the theocratic organization already established among them. That means Jesus' government, the theocratic. That's what they said it means. Yep, he's mentioning Hitler again. Mankind will fear and tremble at all the goodness and prosperity Jehovah shall bring them. Now, that's 19. Let's see what's up here. Yeah, there's other things. Let me see. Let me just scan over this for a second. Okay, we'll read 17 and 18. God is, see, this is dual-paged at this point. It went from one page to two pages, so it gets a little weird. God has been selecting, preparing, and training the new government of those who will live on earth in the new system. The truth that leads to eternal life, page 73. The Watchtower School of Gilead is training administrators of the kingdom government. Originally designed for training missionaries, also receiving training on how to teach for the expanded work during the millennium. 1952 yearbook, page 51 and 52. Let's just take a quick break here. This song's called What You Don't Know. Welcome back to the Saxon's Creed radio show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, are you believing what you're hearing? Isn't this amazing? The Watchtower is to destroy Christianity and to kill Christians. And they, you know, of course, they'd say, where'd you get that on the internet? See, this is being answered out of their own publications. Listen to this one. After the genocide of Christians and the executions of all those who do not have the mark, I hope you're hearing. The new order. You remember when we were told, I'll just stop there for a second. Remember we were told in this book that the Jehovah's Witnesses are encouraged to take the mark. You remember that, correct? Okay, now I'll start this again. After the genocide of Christians and the executions of all who don't have the mark, the new order will be in process. Will the execution stop? The new heavens of Jesus Christ and his bride will then be in complete control over the earth. So there is nothing to hinder such children in attaining to 100 years of age and eternity. And a man who attains to 100 years of age need not then die as if he had lived his normal span of life. Hence, if anyone then lived 100 years and was executed for willful disobedience to the new heavens, quote-unquote, king, the new heavens king, He would be dying relatively a mere youth or child in view of the endless eternity he might have lived. If he did die at 100 years of age, it would not be then because of extreme age and decrepitude. A New Heavens and a New Earth, page 332, paragraph 28, it says. Para 28. If one then dies either under or at the age of 100 years, it will be because of the curse that one may bring upon oneself because of steady, willful insubordination to the king. Page 333, paragraph 29. Note, Big Brother will execute in the new order, but very quietly. The option of a long life will be offered a new age citizen in return for his obedience. Indeed, the Watchtower, November 15th, 1938, I guess that is, page 1, enunciates, quote, "What will be required of each individual composing that multitude? Obedience. That one word answers the question. God's instructions to his creatures concerning obedience cannot be too strongly emphasized." That's for sure. "In the new order, it will be okay to execute those who are disobedient because they will be 100 years. Very interesting, isn't it? They will be, okay, it starts here, because they will be 100 years old. Here, we got to mention Hitler again. Hitler, who exterminated millions. I'm not even going to read that, Pat. That's so stupid. "Mankind will fear and tremble at all the goodness and prosperity Jehovah shall bring to them." I had read that before. The Finished Mystery, page 89. The Finished Mystery. In the following quote, the parentheses are the Watchtower's. Here's the quote. "In all judges of the earth, the visible representatives on the earth of the theocratic government, Watchtower, 11:15:38, article on God's new earth. Russell at various times mentioned the number of judges he thought would preside. For instance, see his Hell pamphlet, page 26. Quote, "A spiritual police force will have humanity under absolute control." Oh, that's just what we need. You realize how ridiculous this is? In the Father's kingdom, there won't be a need for a spiritual police force. But you hear what's being said here. "A spiritual police force will have humanity under absolute control." Just what we need, another world where we're under control. "Every misdeed will be punished as soon as it is determined upon and before it shall have been put into effect." Oh, so there'll be thought crime. They'll understand thought crimes, and we'll just be thinking this misdeed and we'd be bashed down before we could even do the deed. The Finished Mystery, page 334. What does that sound like? Sounds like 1984, George Orwell, doesn't it? "Any not desiring to serve Jehovah, Baal, will be executed rightly. Let God be true," page 269. Next quote. "The trial of these is more favorable because the evil influences will then have been removed." Well, why would there be any crime if the evil influences have been removed, ladies and gentlemen? But anyway, "and society in Christ's righteous government will be favorable to righteousness, and faithful obedience will then be rewarded and wrongdoers instantly punished." How could there be wrongdoers if evil has been removed? Man's Salvation, page 89. These are all quotes from this Jehovah's Witnesses Society, ladies and gentlemen. Don't take this as biblical, Understand this has nothing to do with the scriptures and nothing to do with real reality either. Next quote. "There will be no ambitious and stronger ones on earth than to push themselves forward." Oh, everybody will be equal. all such like will have been wiped out. This will preclude all ambitious and stronger ones from exercising political propensities and seizing the government, or any part of it. Watchtower, June 1st, 1943. Can you believe what you're hearing? You realize what kind of nonsense this is, right? In other words, God's just going to wipe out all real men and all the, it's going to be just like the Jews want it with all these sissies. You know, it's just, it boggles the mind. Next quote. An extensive educational work will be necessary. Therefore, in the course of the 1,000-year reign, when billions of unjust dead need instruction in God's law, let God be true, page 266. It continues. The greatest educational program of all time will be carried forward under the Kingdom Organization. Let your kingdom come, page 181. Next quote. The nations of all the earth shall come to the new order of things and cheerfully admit that the teachings of the clergy were chiefly lies and vanity. The Finished Mystery, page 89. My, my, my. These people have been busy. Next one. Wiping out of language barriers will be accomplished only by the same power of Jehovah God during the theocratic government. Now, you see, what it seems to me to, you know, like, I don't know if you're, you know, interested in this and paying attention. I'll tell you what it seems like to me. Everything they're about is what the devil and the devil's children are into. Right? The father put up the language barriers, didn't he? The father doesn't want all people to be equal, right? And those are just a couple examples, right? But here you have him wiping out language barriers, right? So that's the antithesis of what the father does. Or did at that time. You know, whether you agree or not, I really don't know, but it just seems like, you know, that, you know, they're here to kill anybody that doesn't have the mark. You get it? And they're talking about Jehovah, who is Baal. So this new world order is the devil's new world order, not Jesus Christ's new world order, if you want to call it a new world order. The kingdom. Right? So this is ridiculous nonsense. The effect of the new order's control on citizens' minds will be a transforming effect. A new heavens and a new earth, page 333. Let God be true, page 270, speaks of how people will need instruction in God's law. Next one. All will need to be real workers. Let your kingdom come, page 177. In referring to the new order, the Watchtower 1-1-1987 says a jubilee for millions. It is noteworthy that twice in Leviticus chapter 25, the Israelites were reminded that from Jehovah's standpoint, they were his slaves whom he had liberated out of Egypt. Already the children are standing in pledging unwavering loyalty and allegiance to the Watchtower theocratic government. 2,000 children stood and pledged unwavering allegiance to the theocracy at St. Louis Assembly, 1941. Report of the Jehovah Witnesses Assembly, St. Louis, 1941, page 52. Already the Watchtower forbids such much secular and religious reading material. Even more literature will disappear in the millennium. There is no reason to conclude that publications which God's visible organization now publishes and distributes among the people will be found of use during the 1,000 years of the kingdom reign. Not that even the Bible will be used during that time. I'm just, ladies and gentlemen, I'm shaking my head. I wonder how they knew all this. Even though it's none of it's true. Those publications are for present day use to inform the people. Watchtower Society, 215, 37, paragraph 17, page 54. In reference to the reading material of Christendom, they describe it as miserable, so miserable that Christians are starved of any spiritual food. Watchtower 215, 37, page 54, paragraph 17. Next quote. Then the eyes of those who see will not be closed, and the ears of those who will hear will be attentive. A New Heaven and a New Earth, page 335. Next quote. Well, since the big city way of life is part of a worldwide system of things that does not work, the only remedy is to replace it. Awake, page 10. Jehovah will shortly destroy the city. His Vengeance, 1930, page 3. He will teach the great crowd of people who will have lived through, let me get to the next paragraph, who will have lived through Armageddon, how to take care of the earth. These people will learn how to plant the paradise. From Paradise Lost to Paradise Regained, page 220. The Kingdom Ministry of 1251 asks, destruction how long? And then answers, until cities be waste without inhabitant, and houses without man, and a land that becomes utterly waste. Isaiah 6:11, he quotes. In the view of such expressions of God's viewpoint, a more agricultural way of life will no doubt predominate for the soon-to-be-realized new earth. Awake, 1876, page 11. A picture in that Awake article shows factories being destroyed. It sounds to this author like the clock will be turned back like Pol Pot did in Cambodia. Next quote. Or can you imagine the majority of business, industry, and city folk willingly reverting to a less productive-minded, convenience-oriented way of life? Even if political leaders should attempt such innovations, they would be stymied by forces beyond their control. It's a good thing it's not going to be the way they say it is, you know what I mean? Because we'd just be in another thought-controlled world and everything else, you know what I mean? This is ridiculous nonsense. I mean, really ridiculous nonsense. But, you know, you want to know what these people are and what they're teaching and why they're trying to get you to join their organization. See, again, it's the Apostle Paul's, either you believe the way we believe or you are of the devil and, you know, Any man come preaching you a different gospel than the one we have preached you, let them be cursed, let them be killed, let them die. Next one. People are not perfect when resurrected. Oh, really? From Paradise Lost to Paradise Regained, page 233, paragraph 29. Other Watchtower articles also bring out how people have the same ideas in their heads as they had before Armageddon. The Watchtower, 1912, page 169, refers to accidents happening in the millennium. Already in the past, Jehovah's Witnesses were given a choice to be loyal to the organization or choose the selfish right to have children. Now, let me stop right there. See? Again. This is the opposite of what the Father wants. Who wants us to stop having children? Who told us to go and procreate? You see? They told them not to have children, and I just remembered that here because they reminded me right here, right? So listen, already in the past, Jehovah's Witnesses were given the choice to be loyal to the organization or choose the selfish right to have children. They were expected to be obedient and not to have children. What does that tell you? This commandment was characterized in the report of the Jehovah's Witnesses Assembly, St. Louis, 1941, page 52. The book Children is manna from heaven prepared by the Lord for the people of good, for the people of goodwill to enable them to see their relationship to theocracy. It was said to be proper to wait until after Armageddon to have children. Children, page 313. Wow. Wow is all I can say. Who would have ever thunk this? Next quote. The survivors of Armageddon under the direction of the king and his princes will marry. Let God be true, page 265. Listen to this. Christ will personally be the matchmaker for every occult... Christ will be personally the matchmaker for every... I got to get up to here. Couple. Watchtower, 1956, page 604. Next one. The real mother of children is God's organization. Watchtower, 9/1/1941. Once the earth is refilled, then the reproductive powers of the people will be taken away. Watchtower, 6/15/01, page 206. Man will be composed of perfect unsexed units. Units. Watchtower, 6/15/01, page 204 through 208. I hope you're getting all this, folks. The dead, next one, the dead will not come back from the grave on the spot they were buried. Christ Jesus might well resurrect 1,000 at one time in one location, from, say, like what used to be New York City, and then from there they would be dispersed to where Christ wanted them. Brother Schroeder's talk at Saginaw, Michigan, 1953. Schroeder is a Jew name, by the way. We just came across that name. Yes, I know you might say, well, that's a German name. I believe it's a German Jew name, one of the German names they stole. Will Big Brother regulate who can have children? According to the Watchtower and Ray Franz, in Crisis of Conscience, the Watchtower Society, will take over the selection of spouses. Now, this is contrary to... it's incredible. They, the Watchtower, will take over the selection of spouses. At some time, they will also take over the control of who can have children and the production of people. They say that this is that allowance must be made for those resurrected, quote-unquote. They've spent a long time thinking of a future that they'll never be in, obviously. Ladies and gentlemen, boy, oh boy, this author speculates such a scenario would happen, such as Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, that could fulfill their expectations. Now, here it is, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Jesus is Lucifer's brother, okay? They don't like to answer that. They, you know, when you try to say, who is Jesus? Is it, you know, they say, where did you get that from the internet? You know, the same old crapola. Watch. Jesus is Lucifer's brother. Now, what did we see here? This false religion says Jesus is Lucifer's brother only because they both have the Morning Star title, right? But what did the Catholic Church say with the Pope, this current Pope in 2013? That Lucifer is God and Jesus is his son. Okay, so I just wanted to point that out. That was from the Watchtower, 3/1/1932, page 76. Lucifer, now called merely Satan by the Watchtower, was part of the heavens during the Garden of Eden. That special organization of angels under Lucifer was spiritual, higher than man and invisible to him, and hence they constituted the heavens, quote-unquote, of that original world, the heavens, quote-unquote, and that earth, quote-unquote, therefore composed the then perfect and righteous world. The New World, page 22. God's only begotten Son, the Word, and Lucifer were princes. They are called the Morning Stars, quote-unquote. For a long time they worked together, and on special occasions the joy of the morning stars sang together. Christ will be invisible during the millennium, but only present as he is today. Really? Aid to Bible Understanding, 1971, page 551. Satan is not bound during but after Armageddon. Light, 1931, page 187. Next quote. God has no communication with the world until Jesus has restored the men thereof to actual perfection. Really? Man's Salvation, page 87. We'll finish up with this. Evil occult powers in operation, quote unquote. The difference between Samuel and his occult powers and, I have to get to the paragraph. Yep, every time it does the same thing. The difference between Samuel and his occult powers and the occult powers of others today is Samuel's were manifested under divine direction at a time when God was pleased to use such powers among his people Israel. These are lies, man. These are lies. Amongst his people Israel, powers which doubtless will be in exercise also to some extent during the millennial age for the world's guidance. Watchtower, 215, 1915, page 59. Bear also in mind, Russell felt that the Persian occultist Zoroaster was taught his tricks by Jeremiah, and that he in turn taught the Magi who chased the Star of Bethlehem. Watchtower, 1906, page 14. That's where we stop, ladies and gentlemen. My goodness. My goodness. Hoo-wee. This is page 281. My goodness. That was a load full of, boatload full of you know what. But it's important to hear this kind of stuff. Can you imagine what you've just heard? Can you imagine that these people have spent time thinking of a future that they're going to be of no part of? Hoo-wee. What can I say? My goodness. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.